There you go. All right, so it's Halloween. I don't know if you heard Halloween tonight. Yeah. Candied corn. If Brock's laid the candied corn kernels it sells each year end to end, some of them wouldn't float and they'd be in the ocean. No, it would wrap around the world 4.25 times. And when you think about it, they're pretty itty-bitty, so they must sell a lot of them. The M&Ms in M&Ms stands for Mars and Murray. Forrest Mars Sr. and Bruce Murray launched the candy. Now, remember the first time you saw, you know, in the big city, they have these candy stores where you can find M&Ms of all sorts of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why don't they do those all the time? You know what I mean? Why don't they put purple M&Ms in just their regular bags or lavender M&Ms?
Because that probably costs extra.
Well, but they're making them anyhow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just...
Well,
and they do it, I guess, around Easter time or something like
small,
that.
Small batch runs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and of course, yeah, you can get, you know, like Aggie Maroon and all that. Mm-hmm. And they'll print special stuff. Hey, all it takes is money, right? The Reese's in Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is Harry Burnett Reese, a former Hershey employee.
Really?
Who created his famous candy in the late 1920s. When you go back and look at it, come on, peanut butter and chocolate. How tough is it to come up with that combination? I mean, it's tough, yeah.
I just realized that I left a peanut butter cup in the middle of the console in my car. Hope
did
it doesn't
you?
Melt.
Well, I probably not now.
At 40, what is it,
I mean,
49
not right
degrees
now,
right
now.
Yeah.
When did you leave it there?
Yesterday afternoon.
Oh, well, I think it's probably safe, yeah. Summertime,
I just forgot
not so
about
sure.
That until
yeah.
You just told me.
So how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
3.
Very nice.
Maybe if you're an owl with a little scholastic problem.
It just says here, on average, a licking machine.
Somebody invented that.
What's fun yeah. about that?
Designed by engineering students at Purdue, it needed 364 licks to get to the center.
Why can't you just have one person sit there and lick it?
Well, and again, do they turn it? Are they just licking on the same side?
That would be 364 licks.
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and not everybody's yes. tongue is the same size.
Yeah, sure.
Are you counting for saliva?
All of those things. That's right, the saliva factor. When the Three Musketeers was introduced in the 1930s, you know, the Three Musketeers was actually three separate pieces, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
I did not know
yep.
that.
Hence the name, Three Musketeers.
I'll be darned.
It always was a little confusing of why it was called Three Musketeers when yep. it was just chocolate
now,
over a nougat.
Now you know why. That's it. Milky Way is not really named after our home galaxy. The name comes from a type of malted milkshake that was popular in the early
1920s. Oh, I'd
wow.
like that.
That does yeah. sound good.
Mary Jane's, first manufactured in 1914. Once again, you're not sure how old they are. By the Charles N. Miller Company, the candy was named for the owner's aunt. Do you remember, do they still make Fruit Stripe gum? I mean, I don't know if they do or not.
They had it when I was a kid.
Well, I understand, but that was a little
was
while
little
back.
Tattoos in there.
Yep. In case you didn't know, the zebra, which is the mascot for Fruit Stripe mm-hmm. gum, his name is Yipes.
I had no idea.
No, you didn't, did you? See? And the word Pez comes from the German word for peppermint.
Yes, I did know that.
That's how they got. That's how they got Pez. So.
Really?
Yep. And let's see. I think that's. Sugar. Yes. Go ahead.
Can we call you the Candy Man?
No, isn't that nice? In the early 1930s, the Sugar Daddy caramel candy was named the Papa Sucker. It was called Sugar Daddy after it was named Papa Sucker. And Cheerios plus Circus Peanuts candy. May not sound like a winning formula.
Oh, I know what it came from. It.
What? Go ahead.
Lucky Charms.
You're right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Wow.
Who looked at a circus peanut? What, you know, if we cut that up and put it in cereal.
No, he was eating it in his cereal.
Is that what
thought,
it was?
You know, we ought to make a cereal like this.
Oh,
okay.
Again, how do you sit and look at circus peanuts and go, if I put that in cereal, that's a home run, buddy.
But you know what? It worked. And that's it. All it takes is one good idea. And in honor of Tom Turbyville, Necco cranks out 750 million candy buttons each year.
Those things are awful.
And I didn't know what one was until I met yeah. Tom Turbyville.
And then what they do is they store them for 30 years, and then they sell them. Because they have to let the rat hair get inside of them, you know?
Sick. They use those to protect the space shuttle, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Actually, in the 1930s, Admiral Byrd brought 2.5 tons of Necco wafers to the South Pole for his men during their 2-year stay.
I would need that.
Necco wafer. I know we were in a candy store when we were traveling one time, and they had all chocolate Necco wafers, like a tube of them. Yeah, and I bought Tom those because, again, he's the only person I know who likes them. And you can buy them around here, but I just, you know, they just look like they're old.
Aren't they? They're better than sweet tarts.
Oh no! Now quit that. No,
absolutely
oh,
not.
No, I don't think.
And
so.
Chewy sweet tarts.
No, no those are good, but and they're better. My least favorite is probably Pixie Sticks.
Well, yeah, but, you know, and that's too much trouble anyway, because you got to tear the top off. And, you
and then
know.
You choke on it,
sure.
Inhale the
exactly.
dust.
Exactly. You inhale the dust or some of it hits the back of your throat and you have a coughing spell. See, you know, driving down the road doing 70 eating a Pixie Stick, once again, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Yeah, exactly. Officer, I was doing fine until I opened the Pixie Stick. In observance of Halloween, which dates, by the way, back to Celtic rituals thousands of years ago, long associated with images of witches and ghosts and devils and hobgoblins and all that.
What not?
Over the years, Halloween customs and rituals really have become much more lighthearted. This used to be a pretty dismal time. I mean, this mm-hmm. was pretty scary stuff that was going on
yep.
back then. What's happened as a result, so commercialized, thanks to Elvira, they now sell a lot of adult-type things for Halloween, lots of Halloween parties out there, lots of alcohol consumed at Halloween. Now, the National Retail Federation has found that there's going to be $5 billion spent in 1990 for this, and this year it'll be $8 billion, okay? That's how much is going to be spent having to do with decorations or... See, now, does anybody have an inflatable in their... You know, have you seen the Halloween inflatables?
Yes.
I forget I was someplace.
I don't have one, but I've seen them.
Saw this bubble that had a spider in it or something like that. And obviously, costumes make up the biggest chunk of the sales. Jack-o'-lanterns. You know, their origin comes from the Irish. What happened was apparently a man named Jack put a lit piece of coal in a hollowed out turnip.
Yep.
To light his way home. Irish people later placed candles in the turnips to keep away spirits and ghosts, and I guess then they went for something a little prettier, right?
Turnips aren't worth eating.
Well, you know, you're right. That's exactly right. So that's what they're
and
good for.
They're not big enough.
No. The history of Boo, that's coming up in the next half hour, too.
Oh, that's exciting.
In the meantime, trivia 695-1620, 695-1620. This American city is the home of the Ouija board, 695-1620. This U.S. American city is the home of the Ouija board.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was maybe something carried over from Europe.
See, that's what I mean. That's what you think. And Ouija actually is the name. I mean, that is, it's become generic. But actually what they were called was talking boards. 695-1620, which U.S. American city is the home of the Ouija board. If I can get an answer in the next 30 seconds, I'll double the prize because after that.
You can look it up.
Yeah, you're going to Google it. But I didn't know this until yesterday, actually. I was finding that out just in time for.
I got an eye on the clock for you.
Yeah, okay. Hello?
Hello.
What's the answer?
Baltimore.
That's right. It's Baltimore. Very good. And you didn't look it up because you're driving down the road.
No. Well, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
What? Whatever. All right. Who's this?
Kevin.
Kevin who?
Kevin Kraft.
Kevin Kraft with a K?
Yes, sir.
All right. What do you do, Kevin?
I work at A&M at the Provost IT office.
Oh, very good. All right, I've got four tickets to the Texas Renaissance Festival.
Very good.
They're good on Sundays only, but they're good for every Sunday. And you can come by our office here at Crystal Park Plaza and pick it up.
Great, thanks.
Thanks, all right.
Congratulations.
Bye. Yeah, it was designed by a guy who lived in Baltimore, and it's in the Baltimore City Museum. But, you know, that's the thing that's kind of interesting. The whole story was about Ouija boards. You know, are Ouija boards spooky?
Well, they give me the creeps.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is they give a lot of people the creeps. But it's just a game.
I'm not going to play on it.
It's a fun thing to do. Now, what it's based on is the idea that our hands are always moving. Even when they're still, they're moving. And so what is it? You put a bunch of people, put their hands on the little thingamajig, whatever it's called, and then it goes and spells out things or answers questions or whatever. And I've never done it before, but... It's just the fact that...
Yeah, but what if it is something supernatural?
Well, okay, well, and again, it might be. And that's why people are uncomfortable about it. But it's been around for a long, long time. We've got an answer. Do you have other facts?
I thought it was in Snook.
No, it wasn't. What happened was someone bought one Right after it had come out in Baltimore and they brought it to Snook, thus the confusion. But Snook is not the home of that. Kids will be trick-or-treating, of course. Parents will be looking for a clever new hiding spots for all their candy. I mean, we shouldn't have to tell you this, but take the candy and, of course, go through and get all the good stuff out. And then,
what do you mean hiding spots? What is this, Easter?
Well, yeah, no, you do after the fact.
Who hides candy?
Well, parents do, so the kids don't just live on it for the next month.
Okay.
That way you can put it into their lunch, you know, for like
two weeks.
Or if they behave nicely, you can give them a little treat. But again, it's after you take the good stuff out. And again, you know, I grew up at a time when they didn't do these fun size things, you know, because now you can go out today like and get a gunny sack full of, you know, fun size Nestle treats or, you know, whoever, Hershey's. But it used to be that, you know, you get full size candy bars or you'd actually get homemade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember homemade stuff? They used to give that away.
Yep.
You can't do that anymore.
Because that, well, they,
well, you could, but no one will eat it.
Yeah.
And you used to take all of your stuff there for a while. You take your homemade stuff up and get it x-rayed
I remember
at the hospital
that.
For free.
The hospitals would do that. They would do that. They would let you, they would bring, you'd bring your candy up and x-ray it, which is great PR. But the fact is, you know, that the cases of people putting stuff in there, whether it's some sort of metal objects or poison, really haven't been many cases of that, but it gets a lot of publicity.
There was almost none, if I recall. It happened one time.
Well, actually, once it happened in Houston. A guy...
oh, really?
Well, a child got sick from cyanide-laced candy.
Ugh.
But what had happened is the father had taken out large life insurance policies on his kid.
So it was the dad.
It was the dad who did it. So
oh,
it wasn't
horrible.
Some stranger, some weird guy down the street. Well, I know, but I mean that needs to be talked about too. It's not necessarily nice about
dad.
It.
So he ruined it for everybody.
Exactly. So you know it doesn't happen. But like anything else, use good sense. Go to the right neighborhoods. No, don't take your children across town. Please don't do that.
And why not?
You gonna do that?
Why not?
Because if they don't live there, they don't need to be over there. And the more car traffic you have, that's a bad situation.
Okay.
They're working hard to what? Get everybody to trick or treat between 6 and 8 tonight, right?
Yes.
That's the preferred times, if you will. So if you can do that, that's great. If you can't, we understand. Sunset is about 7 o'clock tonight. So actually, if you're out there by 6:30, then you know, they can do their cute little costumes. And how many people are taking their babies with them? Are they dressing their baby up?
I did not do that.
Fat baby in a taco suit.
Oh, very nice.
As
there
a proud
you go.
Support-